Turn in God's Word to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians, chapter 6. Again, that's printed for you in the bulletins, or you can turn your Bibles there. We're in that part of Ephesians that's dealing with the family. I've been trying to choose as titles for these sermons, the phraseology there that really captures that all of this is based on the gospel. And so a few weeks ago, the sermon was As to the Lord, instruction on the submission of wives. They are to submit to their husbands as to the Lord. And then the next sermon was Just as Christ, instructions to husbands on love, because they are to love their wives like Christ loved the church. And today it's In the Lord, instructions to children on obedience. And so with that in mind, let's hear God's word once again as I read Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I guess I read an extra one. No charge. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your holy word. And we do pray, O God, that as we focus on our children today, that you, O Father, would continue to help them to grow in this important calling that they have to obey. We pray it through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, I guess today we have a real children's sermon. Because this sermon really is directed to the children. But it's not only to the children, but certainly directed that way. And it really points out something if we think about it. When Paul penned this letter, he wrote it to the congregation at Ephesus. The letter starts off to the saints who are in the church of Ephesus. And he's expecting this letter to be read to a gathered group of people there, the church there. And it's amazing to us, and proper, I think, to see that as he thinks of the church at Ephesus, it's not just the adults that he's thinking of. He's thinking of the children. And I think a lot of times in our modern context, we kind of miss that point because we don't realize that children are to be in the worship of God. And that's why we encourage that here. Yes, it's a little noisier. Yes, sometimes a crying child has to be taken out, but we're glad they're here. We're glad they're here. Actually, some of the Calvary Baptist folks have said that's what we really have enjoyed and what we've been missing is the children. And so we are glad that the children are here. And so it's accurate to say that this is a children's sermon, but really every sermon is to be a children's sermon. It's addressed to the whole of the congregation. And this sermon isn't only for children. It's also a message that we all need to hear because none of us outgrow the fifth commandment. None of us outgrow the fifth commandment to honor your father and your mother, which Paul quotes here. Matter of fact, in some of the lists of the heinous sins that people can commit, such as in 1 Timothy 3 or at the end of Romans 1, in those lists of heinous sins that are listed, in both those places it says disobedience to parents is a heinous sin. And that's not just young children that Paul is addressing there. Those other sins are committed by adults, and this one can be as well. As children of God, this message is for all of us. But I especially want the children to be listening today, so I'm going to keep trying to keep your attention. See how good I do, how good a job I can do, but I'm going to try to keep your attention. And I want to remind you, children, this morning, when I read from Proverbs 6, it said you were supposed to do something with your parents' words. Did you hear that? What you're supposed to do with your parents' words? It didn't say only listen to them. It said that you're supposed to take your parents' words, and it's like you're to take a rope and bind them to your heart. Or it said to wear them like a necklace around your neck, that your parents' words are to be precious to you. And so you really want to bind these things that you're listening to this morning from God's word on your hearts and tie them around your necks so that you can really listen and do what the Lord wants you to be doing as you're living your life in your own homes. And one of the first ways that we can really understand how to do this, how to obey our parents, is we have to reestablish this basic commandment. We just got to reestablish this basic commandment. What does it mean to honor your parents and the Lord, for this is right? How do you honor your parents? Let me give you a few practical ways to do so. First of all, you want to have what I'm going to call a reverence for the office. A reverence for the office. Children, I want you to think for a moment what it feels like when you see a police officer. When you see a police officer with his uniform, his badge, his gun on his side, I imagine some of you like to see police officers, but I imagine for you children there's also a little bit of fear, because you know that the police are those who enforce the law. And if you want to see a little bit of fear of police officers, watch your dad when he's driving your car. The next time he sees a police car on the side of the road, what does your dad do? He slows down, doesn't he? He checks his speed and he slows down because he knows he's not supposed to be breaking the law against speeding. This police officer is a reminder to us that there are laws to obey. And he carries a certain weight to his office that we are to respect. Well, your mommies and daddies, I dare say, don't wear parent uniforms. Or they don't have a badge that says mommy or daddy on it. But in the same way that you have this respect for police officers, you should have that kind of respect for your parents, for the office that they have over you. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9, as it discusses the discipline that Christians receive from their heavenly Father, Paul bases part of his argument of receiving that discipline from our heavenly Father on the fact that we have earthly fathers who discipline us. Your father doesn't carry a gun, so to speak, but he does have probably something in his house that he uses to discipline you. My dad used a belt. We used a wooden spoon. There's one funny story in our family. When our children were at the kitchen table eating, they're all talking and eating together, and Miriam was up cooking, making something in the kitchen while we're sitting there eating our breakfast, that she opened a drawer, and all of a sudden the kids stopped talking because it was the wooden spoon drawer, and they thought one of them was in trouble. There's a certain respect that's supposed to be seen there. And when the fifth commandment uses the word honor, it's the same word that's translated elsewhere as glory, which means a weightiness, a sense of presence. We think about the glory of God. And as people come to the understanding of the glory of God, there's a certain weight that falls upon them. They sense His majesty, His power, the honor that is due to Him. Well, in much the same way, the Lord is saying, that's how you are to respect your parents. You are to honor your parents. If you've ever watched an army, and you see some privates and sergeants in the army, and they're there in the field, and then all of a sudden the general drives up, they all step up to attention and make sure they honor him as he walks around. Well, again, I dare say your parents don't want you to, you know, be like in The Sound of Music where the father blew the whistle and they all had to stand in attention. I don't think they necessarily want that. But they do deserve your respect, your reverence. And what are some other ways that you can show this? Leviticus 19:3 says, every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father. That's a commandment of the Lord. Well, how do you show this reverence? Another way to show this reverence is to show respect with your words. Respect with your words. I grew up down south in North Carolina, and I am thankful for parents who trained me and disciplined me. And I knew that when an adult spoke to me, I had only one of two responses to give. If it was a man, and they asked me a question, I had to say, yes, sir, or no, sir. And if it was a woman, I had to say, yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am. That was a duty that I had. And if I didn't fulfill that duty, I got into trouble. Now, we raised our children up north, and so we didn't use those terms, although I was tempted to do so. But they did have a response that they were to give if mom and dad asked them. And again, we didn't practice this perfectly. We didn't always discipline perfectly. But the children knew that this was expected of them, that if mom asked them to do something or asked them a question, it was yes, mom, or no, mom, or yes, dad, or no, dad. What wasn't allowed was, son, will you rake the lawn, please? And they weren't allowed to say, yeah, sure, later, okay. No, they were to say, yes, mom, I will rake the lawn. Daughter, will you dry the dishes? No, later, maybe, no. Yes, mom, I will dry the dishes. When we as parents allow our children to speak to us without respect, we are training them. We are training them in an ill way to go out into society. Because all around them as they grow up, they're going to encounter different authority figures, be it teachers in the classroom, bosses at work, and yes, police officers. And we want to train them to respect authority by respecting the authority that's found in the house. And when you read the shorter catechism answers regarding the fifth commandment, those of you who are familiar with it, you know that its application is expanded outside the home. That it's not only just the superiors in the home, the fathers and mothers in the home, superior in terms of authority in the home that they're to obey, but that extends wherever that we encounter it out in society. And so we must help our children know and understand that if they say, yes, Dad, and yes, Mom, in the home, that will translate to, yes, Mr. Teacher, or yes, Mr. Boss, or yes, Mr. Officer, outside the home. Show respect with your words, children. And also, reverence your parents by recognizing your gestures as well. God is looking at you, children. He's looking at your bodies, even, and how you respond to your parents. Sighs, rolling of the eyes, looks of anger, huffs and puffs, moans and groans, talking under the breath. All of that's forbidden by this commandment. There's one verse you don't often hear quoted in most child-rearing manuals. It's Proverbs 30:17. The eye that mocks the father and scorns a mother. Notice it's a gesture. It's being noted here. The eye that mocks the father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. That's a scary thought. But it's teaching us something. Just as we're promised in this passage that our children will be blessed if they listen to their parents, we know that if they wander away from their parents, they will suffer all manner of ill. And so this proverb, in a very strong way, is trying to get our children's attention. You don't want to go there. You don't want to be lying in a valley with the birds attacking you, so to speak. Some young people think that as they get older, yeah, that's okay for the kids, but you know, I'm a teenager, or young adult, I don't have to show respect. Well, what did Solomon do, the one who wrote these Proverbs? Solomon had just become king of Israel. And he was told that his mother Bathsheba was outside wanting to meet with him. Now, as the new king of Israel, Solomon could have told his mother as she came into the courtroom there to bow before him. Or he even had the power to not even let her in at all. But what do the scriptures tell us that Solomon did? When his mom came into the courtroom, he got off his throne. He bowed low before her. He had another throne brought next to his. And they sat down and they talked. Even the king of Israel knew. Maybe I should say, especially the king of Israel knew to show respect with his gestures to his mother. Parents, you have to help your children with this. You know this doesn't come naturally. They have to learn the discipline of these things. It's important for them. Especially you fathers out there, don't let your sons show disrespect to their mothers. That's just not acceptable. That's not part of life in the kingdom of God. To allow them to show disrespect to the mother is to undermine your own authority in the home. Finally, a way to cultivate this obedience is to make sure they respond to the commands. Respond to the commands. Again, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We hear a similar verse over in Colossians 3:20. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. The commandments have to be in the Lord. We can't command our children to do wicked things, but if those commandments are in the Lord, then our children are to obey their parents as to the Lord, in honor of the Lord, in other words. And we always have to go back to the Lord, right, for these things. Children, think about Jesus. He had a heavenly father. He actually had earthly parents too, right? And the scriptures tell us that he obeyed them and submitted himself to them. But especially with his heavenly father, we are told that he obeyed him perfectly. Even though his heavenly fathers told him that he had to go to the cross and die, he suffered. He suffered at the command of his heavenly father. Sometimes your parents ask you to do things that are not easy, that might not be accepted by your friends. Or it might just be hard work and you don't want to do it, but the Lord calls you to even suffer for the sake of obeying your parents like Jesus did. Again, we saw that our parents' words are to be to us like a light, like a lamp that guides us on a path. And you know, God's word is described in the same way. That's the amazing thing about Proverbs 6. That Solomon is describing the words of parents in the same way that the scriptures describe the words of God. And in a Christian home, that's really the way it should be. As the parents are instructing the children in the fear of the Lord, those children are being able to trust those words as the very words of the Lord himself and obey them. Obey them quickly. Obey them fully. Obey them eagerly. That's what it means to obey. And so keep that in mind, children, as you think about how I obey. Think about what you say. Think about how you act with your body. And make sure that you're ready to respond quickly. But again, this commandment is really not only just for the children. We need to also recognize the growing nature of this commandment. The growing nature of this commandment. Honoring actually deepens in importance the older a young person gets. Honoring deepens in importance as you grow older. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus applied the fifth commandment to the Pharisees who were adults. They were accusing him of breaking the traditions of the elders. And so he looked right through them and he said, well, wait a minute, you hypocrites. You were making a great parade of bringing your gifts into the temple and showing people how generous you are. And yet you're not even taking care of your aged parents who need your help with those funds. You know the scriptures say to honor your father and your mother. And whoever speaks evil of father and mother is to be put to death. You know those things, and yet look what you're doing. Look at the lifestyle that you are living. You see, as you grow older, the force of this commandment grows with you. Children, as you reach adulthood, young adulthood, you need to realize how even more now than ever you need the instruction of your parents. My kids are going off to college. I would tell them, you're going to need me more now than you ever needed me. Don't just go off and think that you don't need Dad, because I know where you are. I'll come after you if I have to. You need counsel. I want your success. The Proverbs were written, really, not to just young children. They were written to a young man on the verge of adulthood. That's why he's talking about women all the time. He wants them to be ready. He wants them to be prepared. He wants them to be able to resist the temptations of this world and follow the Lord. And so we need to grow as we get older in this respect and this reverence that we have for our parents and the elderly. Some cultures are very good at this. African cultures, Asian cultures, they can model this for us. Now, we don't want to go as far as worshiping our ancestors. But certainly the high regard they have for the elderly is something that's commendable and maybe what we need to learn here in our own land. Parents, then, this honor deepens as we grow older. Parents are to increasingly move from, shall we say, enforcers to counselors. The counselors. Children are young. They need constant correction. Constant correction and instruction. And they are to obey this correction. But as they get older, we can't keep treating them that way anymore. We have to come alongside and offer counsel to them. And children should mature to want to receive that counselor. That's why the Proverbs say, my son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. There's an appeal there. And that's what we want to make sure that we're working toward. And finally, might I say this, care for aging parents is not, as some call it, role reversal, where, you know, the parents took care of the baby when it was dependent upon them, and then later in life, simply the roles reverse and the children are taking care of the parents in that way. It's not just role reversal, but it's actually a privilege. It's a privilege. I read an article this past week on caring for aged parents. The author had taken care of her parents for the last 7 years of their lives. And she said this, I spent 7 years caring for my parents, and every single day I needed the Holy Spirit's help. Isn't that the ideal position for a Christian to be in, to be needy? In a culture, again, where so often the elderly are cast off and pushed away and out of sight and out of mind, that's not to be the way it is in the church. We have a duty to visit the widow, to care for the needy, to watch over them and make sure that they are protected and nurtured and loved. That's our calling as Christians. Recognize the growing nature of this commandment. And then let me conclude with these three things. Receive the surprising blessing of this commandment. Three blessings I want to call to your attention this morning. Receive the surprising blessings of this commandment. First of all, the importance of this blessing. Receive the importance of this blessing. We are told in verse 2, that this is the first commandment with a promise. Now, if you know your Ten Commandments, you know that this is commandment number 5. And if you know your Ten Commandments, you might want to argue a bit with this, or try at least figure out what Paul's talking about, because there's a previous commandment to the 5th one that seems to have a promise to it. It's the 2nd commandment. We don't fall into idolatry, but obey the commandments of the Lord, we're told will be blessed down to 1,000 generations, those who love and keep God's commandments. So what does Paul mean here when he says this is the first commandment with a promise? Well, Hendrickson helps out here. He said, when a scribe asked Jesus which commandment is first of all, he did not mean which commandment is mentioned first, but which is first in importance. Since the original could be translated, a commandment first with a promise, we can understand this is a commandment of first rank importance with a promise. That, in other words, honoring your father and your mother is where it starts. Right there in the home, it's where it starts. This is the first one you can actually do as a child, to start learning to honor your father and your mother. And it's so important that you do so because of the blessings that will follow if you follow this commandment. And I think it's a surprise blessing because, again, children grow up and they don't recognize how important this is to their own well-being and livelihood to obey this commandment. If you don't obey this commandment by honoring your parents, you're going to do that to your own hurt and your own shame. But if you keep this commandment, there's far more blessings than you would ever think. So keep that in mind, the importance of the blessing. And then the foundation for this blessing. I love this text. Look at verse 2. It says, so that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Some versions say long upon the earth. And it's amazing that this commandment, originally given to Israel, they were told, honor your father and your mother so it will go well with you in the land, in the promised land. But now in the New Testament age, we have become the new Israel in Christ. And so wherever Christians are found, wherever they're gathered here in this earth, and wherever they have children that are walking in God's fear and honoring their parents, there will be a blessing there. There will be a blessing there. And over my many years as a minister of the gospel, I can tell you that where I've gone to the youth conferences and spoken, or family conferences and spoken, or to churches, where there are children that are growing up in God's fear, and who love the Lord, it is such a blessing. It is a wonderful thing. It is not like that out in the world. But to see it in the church, it's such a blessing. Psalm 110, we're told it's one of the blessings of the Christ, of the Messiah, that our youth will be arrayed in holiness, and they'll be like morning dew in the kingdom of God. So refreshing to the people of God to see children walking in this blessing. And it shouldn't surprise us that this blessing is expanded from Israel to the church, because just as Israel had Abraham as a father and the faith, so do we. And the promises God gave to Abraham and his children have now become yes and amen for us in Christ Jesus. And so there's a wonderful foundation for this blessing in Christ. And then the extent of the blessing. The extent of the blessing. Brothers and sisters, we're living in an age where there's so much family breakdown. The abortion, the violence, the pornography, the transsexual movement. All of this is happening because children have not been raised to know their true identity as made in the image of God, their true problem, has fallen in their sin, and their true need and hope of salvation, which is found in Christ Jesus. And because of that, we're experiencing a curse upon our land, a judgment upon our land. That's why young people are out in the streets, and sometimes when you see them coming now, you don't know how safe you are anymore. And you hear the crudeness and the rudeness and the lewdness all around you. We see the ills that society is suffering. But if we as God's people will be faithful, God will raise up a new generation. He will use our children to do what He promised to do in Psalm 127. We're getting ready to sing it in just a few minutes. In Psalm 127, He promises that our children, raised in the fear of the Lord, become like arrows in our hands. Like arrows in the hands of mighty warriors. And they are to be sent out. They are to be sent out. And the place where it tells us they're to be sent out, the target that they're aiming for, are the gates of our enemies. And they will go into the gates of our enemies and turn hearts and shape lives back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's our hope as we raise our children. It's our hope as I'm getting ready to send out another one of my own arrows in just a few weeks in marriage. Let's make that our hope and prayer now as we conclude in prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the instructions in your holy word. We thank you that you ordained the family, that you, Father, have given us these wonderful instructions to follow. We pray as parents especially that you would help us in guiding our children into this obedience and love and patience and instruction. God bless us, and may your name be praised as a new generation arises to love and to serve you. We ask and pray this in Christ our Lord. Amen.